From Austin, live music capital of the world, this is Texas Music Matters.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
I'm David Brown. Great to have you join us. Coming up on the big broadcast, the co-founder of Spoon talks about the imminent return of one of Austin's most celebrated bands and the project he's been working on during the band's year-long hiatus, an unbelievable hybrid of psychedelic 70s funk rock and gospel music. We'll hear from the Dallas-based band The Relatives. Also, making guitars green. Sounds like a great idea, so why is it causing so much consternation among guitar players? Also, this week in Texas music history, the week's music news, and lots more as Texas Music Matters gets underway. Stay with us. From the newsroom at KUT and KUTX in Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters. We always like to get the hour going with musical discovery, and we got a couple of treats this week. Let's start out with a story of two young men. Paul Cawthon's granddad was a preacher who taught his grandson to sing church songs using an old porcelain bathtub for acoustics. Electric amplifiers weren't allowed in their church. That training turned out to be somewhat useful when the younger Cawthon wound up in reform school singing spirituals while he did time on a Texas chain gang. True story. His musical partner, David Beck, grew up the son of a working musician, the bass player for Robert Earl Keen, so Beck has been a part of the Texas music culture since he was 10 years old, hanging out in studios and on tour buses with his dad. Well, Beck and Cawthon eventually formed a group called Sons of Fathers and released their self-titled debut in 2011. Now hear this, a new track set for release in February that's already generating serious buzz from places like Rolling Stone magazine. This is Hurt Someone by Sons of Fathers, and you're hearing it first on Texas Music Matters.
Oh, what's going on in there? Sometimes I wonder if the light in your eye is the same as mine. Oh, what's going on in there? Oh, will you rise? Will you lie? Going on in there, I heard you screaming out the words that I never want to hear anymore. Oh, from the bottom of my soul, I keep the promise to the ones that you love the most.
Gonna hurt.
Brand New by Sons of Fathers, Hurt Someone on Texas Music Matters. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you focus everything on it? You channel all of your energies toward doing this one thing as well as you can. Well, growing up in El Paso, Jared Putnam knew he wanted to make it in music. He had the talent, the skills, the passion, the drive. Everyone told him so. Well, 10 years ago, it looked like it was about to happen, and he came close, so close. But the music industry was changing. It was unraveling, in fact. And after years of songwriting, touring, recording, keeping a band together, after a while, it just began to dawn on him. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen the way he imagined, for sure. Now, when everything you've hoped for, your sense of identity, is wrapped up in what you do, and all that comes undone, well, how do you begin to pick up the pieces? Reinvent yourself somehow.
Hi, I'm Jared Putnam. I am the singer of the March Divide. I'm from El Paso, and we had a band. We got signed to a local label there, and we'd been done some touring and whatnot before that, but quit college and got picked up by a production company and, you know, sort of relocated to Los Angeles, changed the name of the band to The Conversation.
What did you say? Your questions from yesterday. 'Cause now the answers just won't be quite the same.
Spent a year out there, you know, recording, really being kept is the best way I can put it, you know, by, and we'd put a lot of work into it. We had toured and done the indie thing and being kept by this production company, shown to the major labels. And we went back out on the road, picked up an indie deal with Dead Letter Records. You know, we had a great deal. We had a great relationship with our label and whatnot, but never really came to fruition, to sort of skip the details. We were just so beaten up, you know, the band sort of fizzled out. I don't want to act like I was immune from being jaded from some of the other things that had happened along the way, you know? And so I just kind of got beat up from it. And so I just woke up one day and decided, you know, I'm going home.
Today's the day I'll go outside. Nothing left to hide. I don't remember why. I don't remember why.
I just didn't have it in me to do it, you know. I just needed a break. I moved to San Antonio a little while into it. You know, things are going well life-wise, but it's just something that I can't, you know, it's just what I've always done, you know, and I just couldn't do it on the side necessarily. So just went full-blown, decided I was going to make an album, you know, and so I recorded this deal and with the full intentions of it being just making the best album that I could, and then I was going to worry about the band after that, you know, and it's really, really come to fruition, you know, pretty well, so... I got back with the bass player and the drummer from The Conversation. I always felt like I really did, you know, we just click really well. And so working with those guys and the theme of it when I was talking to them is less is more. Some of these songs are brand new. Some of them were going to be on the new Conversation album that just never happened. And Still Analog's one of them. I wrote it on tour 5 or 6 years ago. And it was when I was really burnt out, you know, and it was about just trying to do something else. And so the lyrically, it's about... writing another pop song about my problems wasn't going to solve my problems, you know, that I'd tried that enough.
Please come see me, Shannon. Say you will. Say you will. I need you with me, Shannon. Say you will. Say you will. I'm still tripped up.
People get started in this so young, you know, and you don't know how to necessarily handle just the pressure, along the way. So you just kind of got to take it for what it is. And some people are better at that than others. I'm very fortunate that I've got a lot of people that, believe in me, I guess would be the best way to put it. You know, this comes out on February 12th, which has really been a long time coming. And then, we're going to play 5, 6, 10 shows a month, various places. You know, there's absolutely no way around hopping in the van, going out there and playing for 5 people a night here, and whatnot. Because that's just how it works, And so to make a living at it, you got to get your butt kicked by it for a while.
Call me out on the promises I've made. I deserve the grief you get me every day. I'll make it up, I swear I will. Give me one more chance, I know you still believe in me. I can't really say I told you the whole truth, but it's not fair for you to say I lied to you. I'll take the blame, I always did. Just hear me out, I know you'll be convinced. Convinced that I never meant to fade out or flake out on you. Well, I never meant to fade out or to flake out on you. All I ever wanted was to win. But the daily grind finally did me in. It's obvious I can't defend that I had my chance and it won't come again. Not again. All the disappointment shows in my eyes that I tried to hide. Give me back a little bit of my broken heart I never meant to give. To give. Cause I never thought you'd fade out or flake out on me. Well, I never thought you'd fade out or flake out on me. I know that you had sold me out. It's always seemed so strange to me. I know that you had sold me out. It's always seemed so strange to me. Well, I know that you had sold me out. It's always seemed so strange to me. Well, I know that you had sold me out. It's always seemed so strange to me. Thought you'd fade out or flake out on me. Well, I never thought you'd fade out or you'd flake out on me. Yeah. Well, I never thought. Oh no, I never thought.
Jared Putnam's new band is The March Divide. The new album is titled Music for Film. It's set for release on February 12th. Coming up, the week's music news, Spoon co-founder and record producer Jim Eno, and lots more as Texas Music Matters continues. From Austin, this is Texas Music Matters.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll learn about what happened when some imported pistols went off in a Texas dance hall. On January 10, 1978, the British punk band The Sex Pistols played the Longhorn Ballroom in Dallas. The pioneering punk rockers were an obvious mismatch for a venue which had hosted Bob Wills and many other country artists. As it turns out, however, the Sex Pistols manager was looking to cause trouble, hoping to create controversy among traditionally conservative audiences.
Okay, all you cowboys, this is our last number.
As the Sex Pistols took the stage, tensions escalated, and an audience member actually attacked the Sex Pistols bass player, Sid Vicious, during the performance. The following week, singer Johnny Rotten announced the group's breakup on stage in San Francisco. However, the spectacle at the Longhorn Ballroom lives on in Texas music lore. Next time on This Week in Texas Music History, we'll meet a piano-playing cowboy who is really not a cowboy at all. I'm Gary Hartman for Texas Music Matters.
With the Week in Local Music News, I'm Peter Mongello of the Austin American Statesman. This is the Austin Music Source. It's almost time for South by Southwest and the annual Music, Technology, and Film Conference, which takes place March 8th through the 17th, is looking for volunteers. The application is available online at volunteer.southbysouthwest.com. That's SXSW.com. First shift selections will take place Saturday afternoon, January 19th, starting at 3 at the Austin Convention Center. In other festival news, Chaos in Tejas, Austin's annual gathering of punk, metal, pop, rock, and more, has announced more of its lineup. British band The Damned, Australian group The Bats, and Denton's The Mind Spiders are among the acts added. Chaos in Tejas happens May 30th through June 2nd at multiple clubs throughout town. Austin country stalwart Junior Brown ended his Sunday residency at the Continental Club last week. The guitarist and his wife Tanya Ray had been commuting back and forth from Tulsa for the gig. Taking Brown's spot, longtime Austin band The Wagoneers. For these stories and more, visit Austin360.com. I'm Peter Mongello of the Austin American Statesman.
We just crossed into Texas, everything gonna be alright, 'cause I'm headed back to Austin tonight. The bus broke down at midnight and I had to fly to ride, but I'm headed back to Austin tonight. I can't keep those people waiting to hear me singing, play my songs. They're the reason I keep going, and they keep me going strong. There's nothing like good music underneath the Texas sky, and if I don't get to Austin, there won't be a show tonight. So, mister, keep that hammer down. get me to my gig, and I'll give you a few of my albums. You can play them in your rig. Thanks to Texas hospitality, thank you for the ride. I'm headed back to Austin tonight. Let's go. Songs about Chicago, New York, and New Orleans. But Kenneth Redgill always told me, boy, get back to where you've been. All kinds of towns and cities, so many that I like. But there's nothing quite like Austin on a Saturday night. There's singers, pickers, poets, and all kinds of guitar freaks. And folks all come to see them 7 days out of the week. There's no place quite like home sweet home, and that's the reason why I'm headed back to Austin tonight. I can't keep those people waiting. Hear me sing and play my songs. They're the reason I keep going, and they keep me going strong. There's nothing like good music underneath the Texas sky. And if I don't get to Austin, there won't be a show tonight. By now the boys are wondering how long I'm gonna take. And if I'm stuck in Amarillo eating that free 72-ounce steak. Oh, I-35, be a mighty long drive, but I'm headed back to Austin tonight. That old I-35, be a mighty long drive, but I'm headed back to Austin for some M-U-S-I-C, Texas style, tonight.
Junior Brown won't be headed back to Austin this Sunday night, alas, but we're sure he'll be back soon. He has a big following in Austin Town. While we're in the musical mood, remember the late unpleasantness involving a shooting outside a Texas bar and the sudden disappearance of Billy Joe Shaver back in 2007? Well, Dale Watson sure does. Watson's getting ready to release a new album featuring the song Where Do You Want It? Named for a line from the police report, which led to an arrest warrant for Shaver. Shaver turned himself in and was ultimately acquitted of aggravated assault in the incident. He pled self-defense. And though Shaver denies ever having said, "Where do you want it?" Watson's song is set to make the story a part of Texas music lore nonetheless. Here he is with a new track from his forthcoming album, El Rancho Azul, Dale Watson and his Lone Stars doing an ode to Billy Joe.
Called Papa Joe's, I heard to say so, by a man named Billy Joe. Got in a tangle, well, a porter knife's a Billy Porter's gun. By the kind of law he is, Billy Haskins' son. Where do you want it? Point the way you want to build some name, cause I'm gonna give him my best name. Boy, I warned you, leave me alone, so now I'm asking, where do you want it? Provocation. Well, hit on Billy's wilder side. Billy had the nerve. Oh, yeah. That old boy jumped right on it. Billy asked him, where do you want it? Where do you want it? Oh, my best day. Boy, I warned you. Leave me alone, so now I'm asking, where do you want it? You better ask him, where do you want it? Yeah.
Brand new by Dale Watson and his Lone Stars on Texas Music Matters. Have you ever noticed how much a player's instrument of choice is part of his or her sound? Dale Watson plays a Fender Telecaster, for example. Joe Ely has that beautiful Taylor semi-acoustic. Willie has that old Martin he calls Trigger. Look, there's obviously a certain prop factor here, but if you're a pro, finding the right instrument is about finding that right sound and sticking with it. The pressure's on to change many stringed instruments, as musicians have known them. And that's causing considerable consternation in some quarters. From the newsroom at KUT Austin, Mose Bouchel has our story.
At the Fiddler's Green Music Shop in central Austin, every instrument has its own price and provenance. With all the mandolins, guitars, and banjos on the wall, it's a lot for an employee like Ben Hodges to remember.
This is a Dreadnought. You know, this would be in the style of a Martin. This has an Adirondack spruce top and then Indian rosewood back and sides. It's all solid wood.
When he picks up the guitar and starts to play, it doesn't sound like something that should spark controversy. But some guitars do. It goes back to those tone woods used to make them. Ever since the U.S. government put endangered woods on its list of items restricted for import, guitar makers, sellers, and even musicians have been worried they could be breaking the law just by owning or trading in instruments. That fear was underscored when federal agents confiscated pallets of endangered Madagascar ebony in a raid on the Gibson Guitar Company last year. Since then, some big instrument makers say they're being more careful what they buy overseas and how they buy it. Charlie Redden is the supply chain manager for Taylor Guitars. He says using sustainably harvested wood makes sense from a business perspective.
Most of the traditional materials that we use to build a guitar are starting to fall into this category of endangerment, and we're really trying to stop that before it becomes too late, like it was for Brazilian rosewood.
Taylor considers itself something of a poster child for ethical wood sourcing. The company even bought its own sawmill in Cameroon to verify the ebony it gets there is harvested and sold legally.
And wow, what, you know, the most difficult thing that we've dealt with is to buy and harvest ebony and cut ebony in Cameroon without bribing anyone.
But if big manufacturers have trouble staying on the right side of the law, what hope is there for small, independent craftsmen? From his backyard workshop in South Austin, Tom Ellis employs 10 people. It's just enough to produce 2 high-end mandolins a week. When it comes to buying wood legally, he says he just has to trust the word of established vendors. And if he wants to export his mandolins...
The laws and the regulations and the information that you have to know are so extensive that it's basically impossible for a single person to be able to do all of that and also be able to export.
Basically, he says, forget about it.
Which I think is what the government wants, is to only have to deal with large exporters.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency responsible for regulating endangered species, including wood, has taken steps to ease the burden. Last fall, it launched a program to waive an export fee for smaller shops. But what Ellis and other guitar makers really want is an amendment to existing law that would give legal protection to someone who might unknowingly own an instrument made of endangered wood. That amendment to the Lacey Act failed to pass Congress last year. Until it does, his partner Kathy Pelosi says the laws will have a chilling effect on industry.
A lot of emotion goes into guitars.
Pelosi thinks instrument making will look a lot different in the future. Certified sustainable wood, like the kind Taylor plans to sell, will likely cost more. And some larger producers may start experimenting with different materials.
So they have to come up with alternate materials that are going to cost less and keep their process down.
But that could be a hard sell. Back at the Fiddler's Green Music Shop, owner Clay Levitt says some instruments, like this ukulele made of bamboo, sound just fine without rare tone wood.
It has a very bright, bright kind of very cheerful sound.
But when it comes to guitars and violins, most buyers still want the sound that only traditional woods can bring. It's just they might have to start paying more to get it. For Texas Music Matters, I'm Mose Bouchel.
fish in the sky. The day is black and the night is a lie.
I can't go back to where I've been. Looks like I'm on the road again. Gonna go fast, gonna go now. Got to try and make it out west somehow. Long time coming, long be gone. Driving all night with the radio on. Oh, 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 oh,
live in Studio 1A here in Austin, hometown heroes, the Green Cards on Texas Music Matters. Coming up, Spoonman Jim Eno on his soon-to-be-released psychedelic gospel project. We'll explain, promise, as Texas Music Matters continues.
Thank you.
From Austin, this is Texas Music Matters, and this is Spoon. From the album Gimme Fiction, Austin's own Spoon on Texas Music Matters. That one produced by Mike McCarthy and Spoon co-founders Britt Daniel. And our guest right now, Jim Eno. Jim has become one of the most in-demand producers and engineers here in Austin with his own studio. And one of his more recent projects is producing a Dallas group formed back in the 70s to spread the gospel with a unique brand of psychedelic funk. No kidding. They're called The Relatives, and their first major label CD, The Electric Word, is set for release February 19th on Yep Rock. So how'd you end up working with The Relatives, Jim?
Well, I produced the two Black Joe Lewis records, and I went to see them one night at the Continental Club, and Zach Ernst, the guitar player, he was like, you got to come out and check out this opening band that we have. They're this gospel band from Dallas, and they haven't done a show in like 30 years. and I went to check them out, and boy, it just blew me away as soon as I walked in the club. It was unbelievable.
When they said gospel group, what were you expecting?
Just sort of a, you know, live band that preached the gospel, I guess. You know, I don't know what I was really expecting, but they have a falsetto singer named Tyrone, and I remember just walking in and Tyrone hitting these high notes, and I was just like, wow. I'm like, Zach, if these guys do a record, you gotta, you know, keep me involved in this stuff. So yeah, I was blown away.
Did you know any of the backstory of the
Rollins? A little bit. I learned it more as I, you know, started to become more familiar with the band. You know, I heard them live, but when they came in, they were so rehearsed, and yeah, their parts were amazing, and yeah, it was, they're really great to work with.
Now listen, yesterday I was just a little boy.
Just a little boy.
But today, look at me, y'all.
I'm a man.
Oh, yesterday, my friends, men were trying to build planes to fly. Oh, but today, it's just another
thing.
To say this, things are changing
every day in every way.
Can I say it again? All right. Oh yeah. All right. Yesterday I was just a little boy.
Just a little boy.
But today, look at me, y'all.
I'm a man.
Things are changing. First track on the forthcoming release by The Relatives, produced by Jim Eno, who's our guest this hour on Texas Music Matters. I think that it will surprise people to know how much you've been involved in producing other people's work. I mean, mm-hmm. People who are real music addicts, of course, they know all about. How did you get involved in producing for other folks?
For other folks, it's just With Spoon, I started buying equipment so that we could be a little more self-sufficient, do records on our own if possible. But then Britt doesn't write on the road, so we need periods of time off before we get together and work on songs and arrangements, and then he'll go back and write more, and then, you know, so it's a process of like maybe working for a week and then 3 weeks off or a month off. And during those times off, I just started, you know, recording other bands, you know. I really love being in the studio. It's very creative and yeah, it's still really enjoyable for me.
What are some of the other groups that you've been working with in the studio?
I just finished the next Chick 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 record. So that's going to come out in April. I did the Telekinesis record that's coming out on Merge. That's coming out in March. Engineering the Grupo Fantasma record. So Steve Berlin is producing, and I'm engineering, and that is an amazing project.
So you're saying a new Grupo Fantasma?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, new Grupo Fantasma record.
You got your hands really full, I guess.
I like it.
It's a good thing that Britt's doing something else right now. Do you? I would guess that, I mean, with all the attention that Divine Fits has been getting, mm-hmm. you constantly get the question, what's happened to Spoon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it drive you crazy?
No, not really. I just don't go out too much, so I don't get asked it very often. Just kidding. Yeah, I mean, we are just taking a break. I mean, if you look at Spoon, we started in 1995 or so, and we haven't taken a break at all until, you know, a year ago. Because what we've been doing is recording, touring, writing, recording for 7 records. We're talking about getting together, you know, in February, March timeframe, and it's just, we're all really excited to get back in there and start working on the next record.
Gosh, I guess this has been terrific for you. I know you have a family, mm-hmm. and so to have dad home
must make
a huge difference for your kids.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah, I have a daughter, and it's good. I get to spend a lot more time with her and everything. So,
how does your daughter feel about her dad being a rock star and all that? I mean, is it...
She's not really fazed by it, doesn't... She's not very impressed.
But her friends are.
Yeah, I think her friends are more impressed than her. So, you know.
I have to say it's a delight to get a chance to talk with you. You're such a down-to-earth guy and clearly not the rock star.
Thanks.
Yeah. We're really enjoying the new Relatives album. Good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming
in. Yeah,
thanks
a lot. I appreciate it.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Karub with your Song of the Day. Today we're going to do something a little different, a history lesson. On this day in 1964, Billboard premiered their country album chart. And what was the first number one, you may ask? Well, it was Johnny Cash's 1963 record, Ring of Fire, the best of Johnny Cash. To commemorate the occasion, we have for you Texas's own Ruthie Foster doing her very own version of the Cash classic. The cover appears on her most recent Grammy-nominated record, Let It Burn. But we have a special treat for today's Song of the Day, a live version of Ring of Fire performed by Foster in her own Studio 1A.
Makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire, and I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns. Ooh, yeah, it burns, burns, burns. That ring of fire.
You know what? You can download this entire song. Just visit us online at texasmusicmatters.org. And subscribe to our Song of the Day. Texas Music Matters is a production of KUT 90.5 and KUT 98.9, the Austin Music Experience. Next week, the lowdown on the forthcoming Austin Music Awards and how you can stand up and be counted, plus a conversation with Lubbock legend Terry Allen, Residual Kid, and lots more. Hope you can join us next week. Till then, on behalf of the entire Texas Music Matters team, I'm David Brown, wishing you all the very best from Austin, Texas.
And I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. Ooh, you know it burns, burns, burns. Let it burn.